This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We felt very good. I mean, people forget our offense. Look at the ranks last year. I don't think we've regressed. Time will tell. But I didn't leave last season on offense going, man, this didn't work. We didn't get the job done. I didn't see us coming up short in games or in the playoffs on the offensive side of the ball. Like I said the other day, best player on the board was a receiver. I promise you, we would have taken him. At the time, that is not how we valued it. And so that's what we did. Right or wrong, that's just how I feel like you build a team.
You don't necessarily need irons to play golf. I'm just going to hit driver and bump 3 woods in the fairway and then putt.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. It was beautiful.
Yes, it was.
Maybe got some golf in. Maybe got some biking, walking, running, patio time, t-ball practice for us. First t-ball practice. Yeah.
How'd that go?
Very exciting. Entering that phase. My son now wants to wear his cleats all the time.
Oh, nice.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a great weekend for everybody involved. We had a great time at both of our draft parties, both at Resurgence and at Wayland.
Yeah, thanks everybody for coming out. Both were awesome.
Yes. We had good trivia questions.
I think the biggest roar came when the Bills traded up in round two.
Yeah.
Not when they made the pick, they traded up. When they made the pick, it became,
golf clubs for
defensive tackle
for TJ Sanders. But yeah, big roar when I found out by the roar. You know, we're just kind of hanging out at Wayland there, and then there's whoa, everyone yells, and the Bills are on the clock, having moved up with the Bears, right? It was the Bears who they traded with to get TJ Sanders. And that was a move that I think it's we are maybe in a new era. Trading up is not the thing anymore. Now it's double pick sliding, right? The Bills traded up. What do they pay? Oh, they slid down in a different spot. So the Bears traded up in a different round, and the Bills traded up in this round, and you know, you kind of juggle your picks. And then the Bills moved up again later on for Deion Walker. So we'll get to Sal at 8 o'clock and Brandon Bean coming up at 8:30 on the full draft class. So we can tell you all about it. The Bills went heavy defense, which is not a surprise to many people. They got special teams help, not a surprise to people. And they got the best blocking tight end in the class and the fastest defensive back in the class.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the superlatives out there.
Yep.
And what else? Is there anything else that happened along the way?
They picked a receiver right at the end to stop you from being able to do anything with. They had a receiverless draft class.
I know. Really disappointing. I really was hoping they would completely just ignore it. And the 7th round pick.
Well, once we got to like round 5.
Yes.
Yeah.
Once it got to this is
clearly not a priority.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think it was like the number one priority. But it wasn't even number 4 priority.
Right.
It seemed.
You know, a funny thing happened. It's the draft. So today we'll talk about it. We'll dig into these players, who they are, what they bring the Bills. But there's something to me that is a little tough to believe. And it kind of goes to Bean's comment there. We'll talk to him about this. I got lots of questions about their process. Did you see how many players they drafted that were guys that came in for visits?
Not the total number, but I know. I mean, Sanders was here, right? And wasn't Deion Walker in on a visit? And
the top 30 visits that they drafted,
yeah,
It is almost, I don't know how to run the numbers on this. Someone can do it. It's almost mathematically impossible to believe they took the top player on their board every time. The guys they picked that they had in for a visit. Now, again, that just means we like these guys. We identify these guys as guys we like. But Hairston came in for a visit. TJ Sanders and Deion Walker both came in for visits. Where else? Or guys that they met with. Landon Jackson didn't come in for a visit. They had multiple interactions with him. Arkansas, they had, went to the combine. They had the pro day. Let me pull it up because not all their visits were reported. That's the thing. Like, you got to have people dig and find answers to who came in for visits and who you picked. But it was a lot of players that came in for a visit that the Bills ultimately drafted. And mathematically, either the Bills are incredible and they had Oz, the mentalist guy, say who are the guys going to be on the board when he pick, but they just pick their guys. They pick guys that they like, which is, I mean, that's how the draft often works. But that's, to me, it looked a lot more like these are the guys we liked than an objective board, which I actually think is probably the better way to do it. You got to know people. You put them in about a tier and say, here it is, the fifth round. What should we do? Take this position, whatever, who's great as a 9.1, or this guy who's a 9.0 or an 8.8, but we know him well and we love everything about him. To me, if you're going to have those meetings, you're going to value those interactions and the makeup of these players, and you're going to kind of tilt towards those players. I mean, I might not agree with all the positional ideas because they, of course, did have seven receivers come in for those top 30 visits and pretty much avoided the position like it was,
well, that's where
they avoided it.
That's where I almost every, if they did that at every other position, is it believable what Bean said that he fully intended on drafting a receiver, but every time they would maybe be approaching on someone that they thought matched up for where they picked, he would go like five picks before that? Because they did bring in, they did not bring any, I mean, Bond ended up, did he even get drafted?
He did not.
Okay, so I was saying leading up to the draft, he was the one day two guy that they had had in on a visit. Well, he didn't end up being an any day guy. Yep. So you look back at their visits, and they were not bringing in first and second round prospects. They were day three guys, and they brought in a lot of them. And the fact that they didn't end up with one until the final pick would lead me to believe that they were ready. You know, maybe in a perfect world going in, they're like, okay, we'll draft one in round four, and receivers just went earlier.
Well, if
which was also to say that other teams valued it more.
That's a big part of this. Like, I don't know how early everybody wants to go in on the receiver being a big part of the draft or the defense being the biggest story of the draft. I mean, they have completely attempted to completely rebuild their defense.
Yes.
I mean, corner, two defensive tackles, a defensive end. And from there, they went special teams. They drafted special teams ahead of receiver. They don't feel like they have a need. They lost two and added one. And then from there, it's all special teams guys, really. But if you believe that a receiver went off the board right before they were about to pick every time, well, let's go to see where they were about to pick. When they traded up for TJ Sanders, Luther Burton had gone two picks before. But they didn't have that pick. So that's a tough one to believe.
They moved up intentionally for TJ Sanders.
Yes, exactly. In the third round where the Bills picked, Landon Jackson, Isaac Tesla, and Kyle Williams went two and three picks before. Now, Tesla, they had in for a visit. Kyle Williams, they did not.
Okay.
To me, Kyle Williams is the kind of receiver that they really could use. He goes to New England. So is it believable in the third round? I think it is. Two receivers go right before their pick. In the fourth round, they trade back up into a spot for Deion Walker. Now, right before that pick, Dante Thornton Jr. went. They had him in for a visit. And he's a speedster, vertical guy they might have liked. Maybe they were trying to get up for him, couldn't, and then go up for the defensive tackle instead. They did pass on Arian Smith, who went one pick after they took Deion Walker. Arian Smith came in for a visit. So there's two receivers that bookend their fourth-round pick. In the fifth round, and they have another second-round pick, or fourth-round pick, rather, or is that it?
That was it. Then they had two fifths.
Okay, in the fifth round, when they are on the board, who do they ultimately take? In the fifth round, it is
Jordan Hancock, 170, the corner.
Jordan
Hancock. Who's going to play safety maybe also.
Four picks before that is Torrey Horton, Colorado State wide receiver. I think they were linked to him. He was a guy that Joe Marino had been targeting for them in the fourth or fifth round, Torrey Horton. So, yes, he came in for a visit, Torrey Horton, four or five picks before. All right, now we've got we got jumped in the fifth round.
That was the span where the Bills had three picks within seven.
And
170, 173, 177.
Right. Yeah. And to that point that they had three picks, when they had those three picks, I thought there's no way they're coming out of this without a single receiver. And sure enough, they did. Is that because Torrey Horton went three picks before? He might have been the guy for them for that spot. Mm-hmm. Instead, they go cornerback, tight end. By the way, missing Chris Paul Jr. by one pick. Mm-hmm. That's a guy they met with a bunch of times, and they were linked to a bunch, and they did not take him. And then the third pick is Jackson Hawes, tight end. I'm only looking at two picks here. There are three picks within eight. Where's the third one?
Oh, the first pick of round six.
Okay, thank you.
Dorian Strong.
Dorian Strong.
Yeah, that was 177.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
177. And then from there, you trade down, and you're going to go to 240. Or there's an offensive lineman. Sorry.
206.
Chase Lunt, 206. Mm-hmm. Receiver before that was LeJonte Wester. No links to him at any point. So it is believable that a couple different times they were within striking range of a guy they were willing to take.
Mm-hmm.
But your point is not wrong. To me, and the conversation and the question for Brandon Bean later today is receiver a position that you look at as a premium position in the NFL? Because the NFL clearly looks at it that way, and the Bills, I think it's not, I mean, whatever, it's my opinion, Bean will have an answer for this, the Bills just don't. It's a philosophical difference with some other teams. GMs, coaches, personnel offices are going to have their own evaluation of positions. We have conversations about running back all the time. Some people call and say, running back is worthless. Others want you to sign Saquon Barkley. And at receiver, this team does not treat it like it is a premium position. And they had a good year without a premium receiver last year, and they could definitely have a good year without one again this year, or maybe somebody pops. But it's pretty clear that they don't really value it the way that other front offices do. I've got teams that are already loaded, adding second-round receivers. And I've got the Bills, who really could use some work there, deciding the seventh-round flyer, which is super unlikely to be on the team.
Oh, yeah, or at the very least making any sort of impact.
Right. So,
like, maybe he's competing with Shavers for, like, the last spot on the roster, and that guy plays a couple snaps.
Right.
But nothing crazy.
So the Bills right now, going into camp, taking the spot of Mac Hollins is Tyrell Shavers, Jalen Virgil. That's where you are. Hollins last year was a guy that ended up having a much bigger role than people anticipated. And the Bills are kind of slotting in a Tyrell Shavers or Jalen Virgil to take that role.
So, yeah. But they're not going to play that much. I mean, Hollins played 60% of the snaps, more than that.
Maybe that's Coleman now and whatever. But Coleman,
but Coleman already played that, which is why, like, I still feel like there is an opportunity here for another ad somewhere. I mean, there's not a great opportunity. There is an opportunity because there are still a lot of vacated snaps on this team, and I feel like the internal options can only fill so much of that. So unless they believe that, like, Shavers is ready to take a big step as not like a, you know, a regular target, but somebody that could be on the field, rundowns, blocking, you know, kind of doing some of the stuff that Hollins did last year. Or, I mean, maybe they're about to bring Amari Cooper back,
Cooper,
or somebody else that's
Amari
still out
Cooper
there.
Or Elijah Moore, or people are suggesting Keenan Allen.
Like a late free agent ad, because if you believe them that they thought they might get a receiver a lot earlier than they did, and they didn't because of the way the board fell, then if that's the case, then I think the natural follow-up to the draft would be, okay, well, then you're about to go add a late free agent signing.
Right.
Because why are those guys out there? Why is Rasul Douglas still out there? Why is a lot of these players? Why is Cooper even? A lot of times those free agents will say, you know, I'm going to wait until after the draft and see if I could find a team that maybe didn't get what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And if I'm a free agent receiver this morning, I'm telling my agent to call the Bills because I want to bet on they're the team that would be the case for.
There's a couple. Dallas, the Jets, There are a couple teams where the receiver rooms are just really barren.
Yeah, the Dallas behind Lamb is what even right
Jalen Tolbert and Jonathan Mingo. But there's a bigger point in here to me, and we've got an all caps guy screaming in the chat already, Josh Allen is elite. He doesn't need a number one receiver. We're not even talking about number one receiver. We're just talking about accomplished receivers at all. And to me, there's another point here. It's cheap. It's one of the top positions to save money on the cap. You are paying a big money quarterback. One of the best ways to keep things afloat at all times is to have cheap wide receivers. And I don't mean cheap like, hey, Curtis Samuel's kind of cheap. He's $9 million, $8 million a year. Josh Palmer is $10 million a year. Like the Bills, those two guys can be nice players
sure
for them.
Yeah.
But you're spending $20 million on guys that you can also just get for free. The draft is an opportunity to, among other things, you know, look for elite talent, build your depth. It's also where you go to get cheap players. One of the reasons people don't want you to draft running back early is because when you do that, you don't save any money. Right. One of the reasons you do see quarterbacks go at the top of the draft is because you save unbelievable amounts of money on rookie contracts. And receiver, defensive end. We made this point about defensive end when they drafted Rousseau and Basham in the first and second round. It was very easy to explain. Well, I mean, listen, guys, that position is expensive. Look at how much they paid Bosa off an injured season, 1 year. Let's see if you can get it all back together. And Palmer and Curtis Samuel are $20 million on other teams' cast-offs to a point of, yeah, I mean, they're nice players, but we would never pay this guy $12 million or $9 million. And the Bills are spending reasonable money on those two guys. Samuel made $8 million last year. How many games did he make an impact in? Okay, the injury's an issue.
Yeah.
These are guys you're paying. And I can remember, Joe, when they signed Samuel, one of the things I said to you and I kind of latched onto was, you don't really see receivers make this dollar amount.
It was a middle ground that there wasn't a lot of.
Right. You're
or
either,
any of.
Even Gabe Davis is like 13 or whatever, and he's not worth that. The point is, draft a guy. It's not that it's a completely replaceable position. It's that you really don't need to spend on the middle class. You can either go to the top or keep things flush on the bottom. And for anybody out there that wants them to build a defense, this is, if you do that, more money for your defense, for your defensive tackles, for your corners, for everything, for your offensive line. It's just by eschewing receiver, what you're doing is deciding, I don't want to save money at the second most expensive position in the sport. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's you don't have to think that they need to find a number one or need Matthew Golden, which I don't think they needed that. There was no receiver this year I was really pounding the table for. It's just, man, the league says it's valuable, and you don't seem to think so.
Yeah. I mean, that's how they've acted for the most part. Where would the Bills rank in terms of their wide receiver salary, though, I wonder, with all of those guys?
Well, it wouldn't be...
Because they don't have a monster contract.
No, that's right. They're still probably kind of low, but Shakir got paid, and then you've got the other two guys that are making lower range salaries.
Right.
So their receiver room. Last year they had $26 million in dead cap on a guy that wasn't on the team. So last year's receiving core, I think, was the sixth highest paid receiving group because of the dead cap. Mm-hmm. I bet now, what is it? Like bottom five? Bottom seven?
Yeah, bottom seven, it looks like. They're spending right now, this is dollar spent. This might be dollar spent. They're spending $23 million on wide receiver this year.
Okay.
Jets are lower, Cardinals, Saints, Panthers, Chiefs, Packers, Ravens, Browns, and Chargers.
But all those guys have rookies.
A lot of those teams are young guys.
And the Bills have Coleman, who matters here. But why is the Jets cheaper? Because Garrett Wilson's not been paid yet. And why are the Cardinals cheaper? They have a couple of guys. Marvin Harrison Jr. has not been paid
yet.
Yeah,
the Chiefs are Worthy and Rice. And
the Chargers have spent more draft capital on receivers in the last 5 years than any team in the NFL in the first and second round. They're trying to lift Justin Herbert up a bit and help him. And that's the other part of this. Like, you see a pick made, and immediately on the draft it becomes, well, they're looking for help for their quarterback. And the Bills just don't. They just don't look for help for their quarterback at that position. So it kind of got to a point over the weekend where it's just like, man, I'm here valuing this position. The league does. And the Bills just kind of don't.
Not in the same way.
That's right. And, of course, they can still win. There's a lot of ways to win. There's a lot of people out there that think that as long as Josh Allen's the quarterback, they're going to win 13 games, and that's probably not that far off.
Right.
But At some point,
right?
At some point, Joe, I got to stop reading tweets about what the Bills' points per game in a season were, because that's not the trophy. You don't hang a banner for what your points per game were in a season. You hang a banner for a Super Bowl, and the Bills are in a window to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, if they go through this whole time and keep losing in the playoffs because they can't throw down the field on an important play, I'm just not going to dress myself in 10 banners that said where they were in points per game in a season. Doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
30 points per game. Congratulations, you scored 29 against the Chiefs and lost. Well, fix your defense. Okay, fix your defense. Are you going to be down 3 points with 2 minutes left again and not have anybody to go to?
That to me is the point. What are they trying to build here? Are they trying to be, you know, a team that's able to score on that final drive they were not able to score against the Chiefs last year in the AFC Championship game? Or are they trying to be the team that's not going to be down? Are they trying to be the team that Kansas City looked great against for the first time against any opponent in like 3 months?
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't it their first game of the year they had scored more than 30?
Yeah.
And maybe the only one of the year where they had scored more than 30? So I think both are defensible, but it does feel like, and I would even agree, the defense was the problem. It has been a problem in that matchup. I mean, over time, they have never put on a good performance in the playoffs against Kansas City, and they have had good offensive performances, but that's when they had Diggs, and that's when they had Davis going off for 250 yards. So I look at them and think, I don't necessarily trust you to be able to score. Like, I was the one that said that week after that they lost that game, I would not take 17 with the ball down 5.
Well,
with the ball, like, I'm not taking being down to the Chiefs. I'm just not going to do it. But I know that I don't trust them to have good defensive performances against them.
Yep.
And how do I fix that? I mean, the only way to do that might be I've got to have just an amazing roster.
And they're shooting for that.
And they are shooting for, I'm going to have an amazing bed of talent on defense when I go and play that team.
Who's going to get cut from this defensive line when training camp's over? Like, a name's going to go.
I mean, Epinesa might be.
Javon Solomon might be. One of these draft picks might not make the team, of course. You know,
and that happens every year.
Like, sure.
The final couple draft picks, yeah, like, that's very possible.
A lot to the defensive front and a lot to their defensive line. 803-0550 is our phone number. Let's get some calls in, get reaction. I'm not really, I don't know if people are expecting a rant from me today. And maybe one comes out somewhere, but it is just frustrating. It is very frustrating to see that other teams are doing everything they can around their quarterback and the Bills, who have the best one. And there's a couple of fans that have this mindset, too. I woke up to a tweet calling James Cook valueless. And I thought, man, Josh Allen, you're not wrong if you think he'll win 13 games every year. But I did not anticipate a side effect of having a franchise quarterback would be that you decide nothing else actually matters. You can surround him with not good players. And the Bills' offense has good players. Their line is elite. You have, that's the other thing.
I was going to say, like, their offense is still one player away from being, like, perfect.
Unstoppable. Probably.
Yeah.
And as it is, it's still pretty good. They came this offseason, the head coach talked about vertical explosiveness and horizontal explosiveness, and they have not added it. So we will see. 803-0550. On the defense, I think they had a nice draft. I mean, when it comes to Landon Jackson in the third round, that guy had been pegged in the second everywhere I'd seen.
Yeah.
The one interesting guy, and we'll talk about this with Joe Marino on Wednesday, Deion Walker was on the 5 guys do not draft for him.
Yeah.
There's some concerns there. And, you know, the tight end, is he the next Dawson Knox? And when he walks out the door, you've got Hawes as your blocking tight end? Maybe.
I mean, for now, he's the next Quentin Morris, I would assume.
Right, that's right. 803-0550 to join us. We'll get a break in. Brian, Eric, right back to your calls. I want to make sure we stay on time today. Jump on the feed on YouTube. Jump on the phones with us. Are you frustrated, flat out angry? What's going on with this Bills draft? I'm fine with a lot of things they did. I kind of am still stunned that they threw a 7th rounder at a position that is super important in the NFL. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 on WGR.